Lesson number 13. The Fruits of Belief Now. What does God expect of His people as a result of all the teachings that we have studied this quarter so far? What should we do? The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Not leaving you alone to work this out, but working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Through the empowering of Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God, who wishes to reconcile as the God of peace, through Jesus Christ, makes an everlasting covenant that is validated in His blood, by which He wishes to make us perfect to every good work to do His will. Not leaving us alone, this is the thrill, but working in us and through us. Part number one, the Father of Mercies. What is mercy? Mercy is the attribute of God that goes beyond justice. The justice of God gives every man his due. The mercy of God gives every man what is due to Christ. The justice of God should destroy man. The mercy of God offers to man the life of Christ. The justice of God should leave man to his arrogant self-will. The mercy of God gives man a thousand chances to undo his evil and accept the divine program. And the mercy of God stems from the fatherhood of God. Just as the Father pities, so God pities. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust, empty without Him, powerless without His life. And so He gives to us more than we can ask or think. And because He is merciful, the psalmist invites us to bless the Lord, to remember all His benefits and all His mercies, never to forget them, continually to trust in Him. Part number two, the mercy of God left us a Savior who can free us from every sin and gives us faith to believe in Him, and gives us grace to empower us to believe in Him. And so one of the fruit that this should produce in us is a readiness to allow Jesus Christ through His Spirit to give us victory. As I have analyzed my own sin, I sin because I want to. I sin because I choose to. And I will never overcome sin till I acknowledge that fact. As long as I make excuse, as long as I blame heredity or environment or my friends around me or the difficulties of my job or the weather or climate or my health, as long as I make excuses, I will never overcome sin. But the moment I say, Lord, I sin because I want to sin, please take away the want, from that moment I can gain victory. I've acknowledged my impotence, and my weakness is made strength in His strength. Now He can do this because He has taken care of all the results of sin in my life. He was wounded in my place. He was bruised in my place. He was chastised in my place. He took my stripes. He substituted for me. And because He substituted for me, and then died for me, He can give me a second chance. The Lord hath taken my iniquities away and hath laid on Him the iniquities of us all. So my response, the fruit that I show thereafter, must be an appreciative living by His grace. Part number three, the promise of power. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake. Now Jesus had said some days before, tarry, pray, till you receive power. And so they had tarried, they had prayed, and they received power. He had said, be my witnesses. Now they could speak with boldness, and multitudes believed. Now not only were the 120 in the upper room praying and receiving power, but there was a vast multitude in Acts 4 who were of one heart and one soul. Into this multitude were the 3,000 of Pentecost, and who knows how many thousands had joined daily as the Lord added to the church. These all were of one heart and one soul. They had all things in common. And great power came upon the apostles. When the multitude were united in praying, the apostles could preach apostolic sermons, and multitudes more would accept. The unity of the multitudes produced the power of the preachers. They were all of one heart and one soul, and the Lord gave them great grace, and there were added to the church such as should be saved daily. Part number 4. Law lovers. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. When we started out our study, we defined law as codified love, as loving reduced to a code. Loving makes relationships. Law defines relationships. So when I love law, I love those relationships that are defined in law, that are made by love. The psalmist here says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. He loved to examine meticulously how his relationships with his fellow men could be maintained. How can I keep from stealing? What is it that I am taking from my fellow men? If I don't maintain my garden properly, am I depriving them from a beautiful spring blossom? Am I stealing something from them? If I keep my yard untidy, am I depriving them, stealing from them, the joy of seeing a nice, neat yard? What are the implications of these commandments? And so the psalmist meditated day and night the significance of the law so that he might love in the fullness of the way. Now in Christ's time, the question was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And Christ gave a double-barreled answer. Love God and love your neighbor. On these two hang all the teaching and all the revelation of the prophets. So we should take every teaching of the Bible, every prophetic inspired statement, every legal enactment, and through them discover how we can love in the fullness both God and our fellow men. Part number 5. Lovers of the new life. Be not transformed to this world. Now the force of Paul's statement here is, quit allowing yourself to be conformed to the world. That's the syntactical meaning of his Greek statement. Quit allowing yourself, it's a middle voice, to be conformed to the world, to be poured into the world's mold. But allow yourself to be metamorphosed, transformed. They're both in the middle voice. Stop doing one and allow yourself to be transformed by the renewing. This term is used of the priests relighting the 7-branch candlestick every day. So every morning and evening we are to get a spark from Calvary's altar fire to have the candle of our soul relighted, that we might assay, test, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so day by day we are to stop allowing ourselves to be poured into the world's mold, and we are to deliberately allow ourselves to be transformed by the Spirit's relighting of our minds. so that we can discern what is the will and purpose of God. So in whatever we do, word or deed, we are to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thankfully. Part number 6. Raised like Christ. Not only from the waters of baptism, but ultimately, not only from the new birth, but from the resurrection, we are to be like Christ. Not only are to we imitate Him day by day, but on the day that He comes in glory, we shall be like Him. Like Jesus is the thrust of this section of the lesson. Like Him in words, like Him in feelings, like Him in tone of voice, like Him in look, like Him in action. Like Jesus. And then when He comes in glory, we shall be like Him. And we have seen that each of the doctrines that we have studied are doctrines that unfold the sort of being God wishes sinners to become through grace and faith in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Every doctrine is a nudge toward Christ. Every teaching in the Scriptures is an unfolding of what He is and what we might become. And as we are learning to be like Him more and more, we shall study other doctrines that are divine means by bringing us into fuller conformity with the will of Christ and the likeness of the divine seen in Jesus.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.